T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome in to this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Good to have you aboard, wherever you may be listening, 870 AM, 105.3 FM, or radio.com, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Mark Menard back at Master Control, fielding your phone calls on our mortgage financial talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. Good show lined up. We'll lead you up to LSU coach Ed Ogeron's show at 7 o'clock. Coming up, Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBCSports.com. Basketball talk as well, game one of the NBA Finals. Deuce McAllister will join us for in the 5 o'clock hour for the entire hour. Dan Miller, voice of the Detroit Lions, stops by for Behind Enemy Lines. We'll get our NASCAR report at 6:30 with Tim Zimmer. And then Dick Girardi, horse racing analyst for BetOnline.com, the Peakness Preview. First, though, Bobby, I kind of turned loose on Twitter today. I'm tired of hearing Breeze and the offense stinks. Okay, so I did some numbers crunching. The Saints are converting 45.6% on third down. Let's round it up to 46%. I mean, 45.6, we can round it up, right? So since 2006, they've averaged...
So a decade and a half.
Yep. They've averaged 46%. On third down.
And what does that rank? Probably number one.
Number one.
Number one in the NFL.
Behind okay. The Patriots. The Patriots are right behind
them. Right
at behind
42. That we're on pace to, like we've done the last decade and a half in conversions.
So Breeze has 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's completing 70% of his passes. Now, here comes that he lost arm strength. He's not that mobile. He was never that mobile. Not in the way of Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. That's not him.
What does it matter? Who you think is the least sacked quarterback the last decade and a half?
Drew
Brees and the Saints. It's not even close. Like New England, Tom Brady's gotten sacked 412 times. Drew Brees, 339 over the same time period. Okay, last year, well, maybe it wasn't quite as good. We were third in giving up sacks. We gave up 25 sacks last year. So we end up being, we still top, we were number 3.
They would argue that he can't pick up first downs with his legs. He can't beat you with his legs.
Well,
it's never going to change, though, Bobby. You're going to have to make plays in
like
the pocket, right?
A decade and a half, he hasn't changed.
Right? I know, but will the quarterback position change that drastically, you think, where you won't have to make as many throws in the pocket?
Well, it can, but you still got to make throws in the pocket because you're going to get too beat up. Even though the rules have changed, when you get out of the pocket, if you're not hook slide or getting down. Now, Russell Wilson's the outlier. I mean, Russell Wilson's on a level right now that I think by himself. Aaron Rodgers, even with his age, you've seen that big first down he picked up with his feet. But even who can run better than Lamar Jackson?
Nobody.
Okay, what did he do against the Chiefs defense? He didn't even
struggle.
He didn't even throw for 100 yards. What, he had 98 yards?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I'm going to continue. So the Saints are averaging 29 points per game this season, Bobby. That might not seem like.
Okay, again, 29 points a game. Well, guess in a decade and a half, who's number 2 in the NFL in scoring points a game?
Saints.
And right at 28 points, number 2. Here you got the Packers. You have the Patriots number 1 at 29 points a game, the Saints number 2 at 28, and Green Bay, the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers at 26 points a game. So you got 29, 28, and 26. Top 3 offenses in the NFL over a decade and a half. And what are we averaging right now?
29 points a game. You can actually round it up. It's 29. I think it's 29.7 points a game.
Oh, well, we're actually averaging more than we've done in a decade and a half. You know what's the problem? In 2 out of 3 games, didn't we give more than 34 points?
Mm-hmm.
When you give up 34 points defensively, you know how many times you lose? 90% of the time. If our defense keeps giving up 34 or more points a game, you might as well flip a coin, because it could be a 550-50 season. Which, well, what do we always say, like scoring defense? You always be one amongst the best. I'm not saying you're going to give up 15, 16 points. I know when the Saints have been their best, they're capable of doing this, like 19.5 or something, or even low 20s. If we just give up low 20s, I like our chances a lot.
Listen, this was sparked by DMs on my Twitter to me.
DM, what's that?
Direct
DM.
Message.
Oh, okay.
Direct, like a text message, you know?
Okay, I got you.
And I got tired of it. I mean, we should be focusing on a defense, as you mentioned, Bobby, that's given up a boatload of points, turning guys loose in the secondary, lead the league in penalty yards, lead the league in defensive pass interference calls. That's what you should focus on.
Well, yeah, but, you know, people want to look at it, oh, well, I want to be entertained as long as – I like shootout game as long as the Saints win, but that's not winning football.
Long term,
yeah, and I thought our defense would build upon what they did last year. You know, we're on the cusp of being top 10. We're at number 11. But obviously that's not the case right now. I mean, it's very frustrating. So it's a team effort. The one thing I could say, the one win that we did get, you got to, you know, trying to win in all phases, look at the special teams. Guess who's leading the NFL in punt return? Deontay Harris, number one at 15 yards a game. That's if you 14 yards, that's like all pro. If you double digits, you're getting it done as a returner.
Jamal Agnew of the Lions actually has 17.5 yards per return, but he's only got two
returns. Oh, okay, so two returns.
He's only got two returns. So okay. That shows you how bad the Lions' defense is.
Right. Yeah. So the bottom line is you can nitpick and all that. That's why I say slow your roll and just, you know, see what's going to happen over the next four games, next month.
All right, we're just getting started here on Sports Talk. Our mortgage financial phone lines and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. This is Sports Talk, Saints Radio, WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk on our mortgage financial talk and text lines. 0826 says, homers. Well, I mean,
we're not 0-3. We're not the Eagles yet. So.
You're not the Eagles. You're not the Jets. Life could be worse. You could be the Houston Texans as well. Charles in St. Bernard. What's going on, Charles? You're on WWL.
What's happening, people?
Hey, Charles, what you got, man?
Hey, Bobby, I'm going to tell you a little story about something that went down a couple of years before Katrina. It's about you, my man.
A couple of years before Katrina, that'd be 2003?
I don't know.
Wait, what now? A couple of years, 2003, I was not.
Well, Katrina, I guess it was. I don't know. I was up in Charity Hospital, third floor, and some dude smiled. He said to my mom he knew you, but I wanted to give her your phone number, call you up and get him out.
What? To get him out of Charity?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, man. He made sense, though. He might have been crazy, but it made a lot of sense.
Well, if it was 2003, I wasn't in town, so if that happened.
Yeah, I told him that, man. I got rid of him, bro. But you know what I called up to say was, y'all got to watch out for tight end Hochstein, wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr., because it's going to be another Waller Lazard type of deal, bro.
All right, bro.
So, Charles, hopefully our secondary plays a little better. But you know what else we got to do? We got to get a better pass rush.
Yeah.
How about
Cam?
Because you remember, boy, Cam had a big game when the Lions came to the Dome last time. Our defense, you remember when I think Stafford was hurt with his ankle or something? He couldn't really move around.
Yeah,
and we were defending. We must have had 8 or 9 batted passes that game.
Yeah, and I think Cam had one for a touchdown.
Yes, yes, exactly. So you still have to. I think he'll be more mobile this time around, but he still likes to throw those slants. He's got to get those big paws up.
He's got 5 touchdowns this year, 2 interceptions. One thing about Matt Stafford is he's going to give you a couple of balls a game to have a chance to pick off. He just is. That's just who he is. He's kind of that gunslinger that's willing to take some risks, and he's a little inaccurate at times. I mean, he's completing 62% of his passes this year, and that's right around his career average. So, and I'm not trying to be overly critical, but 62% is not ideal for efficiency for quarterbacks.
Well, and he'll push the ball down the field. and I'm sure the way we pass interfering down the field, that he'll give his receivers a chance.
You know? Yeah, that's a reputation you earn. You know, it's hard to shake, and the teams are going to do it. Just like the bootleg, you're going to see a lot of the bootleg action based on
Until you stop it.
Yeah,
the Packers did. Every team has that in their playbook, and they're going to see. Well, what did the Packers do that was so successful? And I know the Saints, they had to address this in practice. We can't go to practice. But you know they've addressed it because you're going to see it again come Sunday.
Here's what Sean Payton had to say today about the bootleg action.
Well, to answer your last question, I don't see it on the rise more. It'll continue to be on the rise if we continue to defend it the way we have. We've got to have better eyes. We've got to have much better eyes relative to what we're doing. I mean, honestly, we look like a high school team defending the bootleg the other night, and that was kind of embarrassing. So that's got to get corrected.
Pretty sharp words there, Bobby. Look like a high school team defending the bootleg.
Well, the truth hurts sometimes. So just, Coach Payton's keeping it real there.
And if you were a player and heard that, how would you take it on defense?
We heard a number of times. Coach Mara was that type of coach. He'd say, and one time I was running 2-minute offense, and he goes, A-Bear. He goes, basically he was saying a few choice words other than that. He goes, we don't have a chance to win if you play like that. And then I end up having a good game. We're playing the Redskins who just come off of winning a Super Bowl. And,
is that when Dexter Manley spit in Dombrowski's face?
That was at RFK Stadium.
Morton missed a field goal, chip shot.
So, yeah, listen, the Dome Patrol and Jim Maher, they were all always at each other. I mean, so, no, it's tough love. And, hey, how are you going to respond? Just go about and change the coach's opinion. Or, get it done. You're a pro. You can't cover the bootleg like a high school player.
What does he mean by eyes?
By eyes? Okay, who has contained? What are your responsibilities? Don't get so over-pursuing. And even though it looks like a run, just do your job. Don't try and do too much. And if you have to contain and not let Aaron Rodgers get out of the pocket and nobody's in his face, or what's your responsibility once you recognize it's not a run, who do you have? You can't have guys just wide open and nobody covering them. Come on, it's the NFL.
Yeah, look, I have no problem with Sean taking a shot. It's his defense, and look, that also falls on Dennis Allen now. That's not just the players. It falls on Aaron Glenn as well.
Well, I guarantee you, behind closed doors in that meeting room, it was a lot more than just looking like a high school coverage.
Yeah, that's being kind, I think,
compared
to the meeting rooms.
He'd be like, what the are we doing? And then they'll go back and forth, back and forth. And you might all of a sudden you say, like, but it's going to be a long meeting. We going over one play, and it's taking, like, 15, 20 minutes. Because going, clicking. Do they still do that, like, how to click the remote?
They got remotes, but they're much different.
More sophisticated.
Yeah.
It's just bottom line going back and forth. Okay, let's see from initial snap what you saw, and then go, and then, okay, how are we going to play this? How are we going to correct this? Because like Sean said, Coach Payton said, if you don't correct it, if a play works against you, I guarantee you the next team's running it, and you might see it for a month until you truly stop it.
We welcome in now Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com, at Basketball Talk on Twitter. Game one of the NBA Finals, Heat and Lakers. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Had you on. It's been a while since we've had you on, to be frank. I hope everything's well.
I got nothing to complain about. Everything's good here.
Now, Kurt, I was kind of excited. I was telling Christian, boy, two of my dark horses, I got burned. I picked the Raptors and the Clippers. I don't know why. I guess I was just being a Laker hater. But I said, watch out, the dark horse for the Nuggets and the Miami Heat. And, boy, look at the Miami Heat. They have nothing to lose because everyone's expecting the Lakers to obviously win. It's like, oh, will it be in five? Will it be in six or whatever? But I don't know. I don't see the Lakers sweeping the Heat.
Oh, absolutely not. No. This is a tough matchup on a couple of levels. They've got Bam Adebayo who can go at Anthony Davis as well as anybody on the planet. He's probably the best guy to defend him. The Heat shooters are going to steal a game for them in there. Whether they can take four out of seven, that's a much tougher call.
Right.
But it's not going to be a sweep. And the other thing that goes in here, Bobby, you run into it in football, I think it's most prevalent. You can sense it when you're watching like boxing or MMA. Certain fighters are hard to fight against, right? They're southpaws or they've got some sort of other awkward style. They do something and you're not used to it. And you're not used to dealing with it. And you watch 5 minutes of the fight and you're like, well, this guy's better, but it's going to take a while. It's not going to be pretty. And it's going to take a while for him to figure out how to beat these guys, this other guy. That's playing the Miami Heat. I don't think they're the more talented team in this series, but they get off the fast starts because they are just awkward to play against because of their zone defense, because of the dribble handoff and the shooting, and it's just everything they do. It's a challenging team to play against. And LeBron James solves these kind of puzzles, but I don't know that he solves it in game one or two. It might take a little while.
Now, Kurt, does this even come into play? I mean, he's not on the court. He's an old man now. But Pat Riley versus LeBron James, and what occurred when LeBron left the Heat and all that. Does that come into play? Because I know Pat Riley would like nothing more to upset the Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah, look, I think Pat Riley wants to beat LeBron more than LeBron cares about beating the Heat.
Right.
I don't, you know, like LeBron didn't leave there in with a lot of bad blood on his side. He wanted to go home.
Right.
He felt the urge to go home and finish the championship, but he didn't leave like, man, I hate Miami. I got to get out of here. He wanted to go back and finish something he felt he started. That ain't how Miami saw it. It's certainly not how LeBron, you know,
Pat Riley, yeah.
Yeah, Pat Riley saw a dynasty leave and he was mad. So I think Pat Riley will be sitting up in the box, you know, wearing his mask upside down, by the way. You've noticed he seems to always have it on upside down.
Belichick does the same thing. Bill Belichick did the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why the look. But, and he's going to sit up there and be frustrated, but he can't, you know, if you like you said, at the end of the day, he's not coaching or playing.
Right.
This is out of his hands now.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Kurt, any rumblings, whispers about the vacancy for the New Orleans Pelicans, their head coach?
Doc's name has come up, I heard. I'm sure I know they reached out to him. I know he's also interviewing in Philadelphia. I don't want to say that they're in the mix and they're talking to people. I'm curious if, look, the people who are the first dominoes to fall are going to be Doc and probably Ty Lue, although Tyronn Lue's, he's free now. He's got some time because, you know, the Clippers are not playing. It's Jason Kidd who's kind of stuck. But I think Mike D'Antoni's out there, and those big dominoes fall first. And we'll see if the Pelicans get them. I think that New Orleans is an incredibly interesting and intriguing job because of Zion Williamson, because of the young talent, you know, and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, just the young talent on that roster and the potential and the potential of David Griffin. But are they going to pay? I guess is the question. You can save a few million a year by going with and trying to find the next Nick Nurse or the next Steve Kerr, or the next, you know, we're going to find this coach who was an assistant and pull him up. And that can work brilliantly, but it doesn't always. We'll see which direction they go. None of those names I mentioned, none of the big three are taking a discount to come to New Orleans. So is New Orleans going to pay up? And are those coaches interested enough in doing it? Do they trust management enough? Do they like that situation more than, I mean, honestly, I see, to me, New Orleans is up and coming. New Orleans is a team on the rise. I don't think you get that with Philadelphia necessarily. That's an awkward fit between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and maybe you think you can work it out. And Houston isn't a team they're not on the rise. This is what they are. And you're going in to coach small ball because they can't move that roster around. So to me, it's the most appealing of the jobs in some ways, but I'm curious. I'm curious what direction they're ultimately going to go.
Now, Kurt, who's going to be that guy maybe coming out of, I don't want to say nowhere, but if you follow the game, like with Hero, what he did against the Celtics, and is there going to be an individual that all of a sudden is going to become more household name, you think, in these finals, or has that potential?
I think if it's not Tyler Hero, it could be Duncan Robinson, who's, you know, the other sharpshooter from Miami. Alex Caruso will make a lot of fans because he always does. And because, let's be honest, guys, we're watching that game and you're thinking, I could take off. If you saw Alex Caruso in a pickup game at the Y, you'd be like, I can take him. I got it. Like, he doesn't look intimidating. He doesn't look like this. And then you watch him play, and he's hustling all over the court. He's got sneaky good hops. He's got more, way more athletic than you think. And he can shoot, and he's just, you know, plays great off LeBron. So maybe this is a finals where he steps up, but I think the Heat are, if the Heat have any chance in this thing, they're going to have, like, Hero's going to have a big series, but they're going to need Duncan Robinson. They're going to need somebody else to step up and surprise, because they don't have the two best players in this series. They're on the Lakers, so they've got to have the next bunch if they're going to win this thing. Their ensemble has to come through.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. I want to turn it over to Mark Menard back at Master Control. Kurt, he's part of our team. He's got a pretty good understanding of the NBA, and he's got a question for you. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Kurt, I was just curious. When you have a team with a young core like the Pelicans, and you're making that coaching search, you personally, do you think it's better to bring in somebody with NBA experience that maybe, you know, had a rough time at their last gig and got let go? Or is it better to bring in somebody young and up and coming who maybe hasn't had a head coaching job or has been in college, but it's their first NBA job? What do you think is a better fit for a young team that's trying to find their way?
It kind of depends on the coach. Like, with this team, it's a little bit of a weird mix, because you've still got, you know, JJ and Drew Holiday and whatever roster moves they end up making over the next few years, there's a sprinkling of veterans in there. But ultimately, I think you need a guy who's good at player development. And you started to see that last year with Brandon Ingram, and I think Lonzo Ball took a step forward. And you're going to need that out of as good as Zion looked. I mean, there's obviously parts of his game that need to improve. You need somebody who's good at player development. And Doc has done some of that, but you might also look, there are Darvin Ham, the former NBA player who's now a lead assistant in Milwaukee, and Adrian Griffin, and there's a few other guys out there who look like the next guy who deserve a shot at that. Sam Cassell is out there if you want somebody to just bring some swagger to the locker room. I think there's something to the young coach bonding with the new coach bonding with the young team type of thing. It's just got to be the right guy, and they've got to find the right fit. They've got to really, you know, David's got to take his time, interview these guys and say, hey, this is the kind of personality we need in here. And Coach X, whether that's Doc and Doc Rivers, for all his, I'm going to pick apart the X's and O's and how he handled some of that 3-1 loss. There's stuff to pick apart. And that said, guy's a motivator of men. He is a leader, right? Those players do like him. They do listen to him. He was a voice inside the bubble, and that may resonate with the guys. J.J. Redick loves him, and, you know, that may resonate.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer at NBCSports.com. Kurt, is it Lakers in five, Lakers in six, the Heat in the surprise? You tell me.
I have Lakers in six. I've also, you know, look, to be honest with you, like, I've been off on the Heat pretty much the entire time, and back when I had disposable income and would bet on games, I pretty much put, like, my bookie's kid through Harvard. So my predictions are not necessarily the direction you want to go, but I have the Lakers in six.
Very well, Kurt. We'll check in with you throughout the finals. Thanks, man.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Kurt.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Bobby, have the Saints committed to the running game as much as you'd like?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Christian, they really have. Come on. I mean, to me, anytime I commit more to a run if you're averaging 4.5 yards a run. Instead
They're averaging 4.3.
Instead of, like, but I mean in the game. Like, if you have a game right. And you're averaging 6 yards a run, and that skewed lower. You said 4.3. That's because Tampa Bay, we could not run. But we could run against the Raiders, and we definitely could run against the Packers. And you look how that game unfolded. And you might say, I know when you got to play catch-up or you're behind, but if you have the lead or if it's really within one score, I think you should never panic, you know, tied or whatever. Now, I know we've had double-digit leads. We want to keep pouring it on. But the bottom line is just to win the game. But if you look at it, Luke Johnson did a good job with this, with the Picayune and the Advocate. The Saints entered the fourth quarter in a tie game, okay? And look how well we're running the football. Now, if you look at it, here's their play selection in the final 15 minutes, okay? The final 12 passes and one rush. Now, the lone running play, that one running play, that one rushing attempt was Taysom Hill, you know, that obviously we know what happened with Taysom. He fumbled, and I think maybe we would have ran more on in hindsight, we'd have ran more on that particular drive. But it is what it is. The final 15 minutes, 12 passing attempts, only one rushing attempt. Now, you look at a guy like Latavius Murray. Now, and I've said this before, Latavius Murray's running hard. Didn't it seem like he's always, like, falling forward? I mean,
yes.
He's hitting and getting. It's not any dancing. So look at Latavius Murray. He had 58 rushing yards on 12 carries. But then his last carry came with almost 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Not the fourth quarter. This came about in the third quarter. So Latavius Murray, the last time he ran the football was 8 minutes left in the third quarter. That, to me, was like, listen, I think when we were running the ball, if we ran against the Packers, and that might have been the case maybe if, like I said, if Taysom doesn't fumble, we hit that 30 mark. But we should not be, when the game's all said and done, we shouldn't have 18, 19, 20 rushing attempts. It should be at least 28 to 32, somewhere around there. And less of Drew being more. I mean, if you look at the end of a quarterback's career, Hall of Fame players and Super Bowl winners, you look at John Elway. Okay, remember with Terrell Davis?
Mm-hmm.
How they ran the ball and winning formula, won a Super Bowl. Look at Peyton Manning when he was with Denver and when they won the Super Bowl. And how, I mean, did Peyton really like?
Towards the end, it was the defense that won that one.
It was a team effort. The defense, and they were running the football.
He's a prime example of a guy that lost his arm strength, and it was very, very obvious.
Yeah, where he was, like, struggling to even throw for, like, 150 yards, 100 yards, whatever.
Yeah, the team makeup was entirely different. He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Right to our mortgage financial talk and text lines. Chuck B. in Mid-City. What's going on, Chuck B.? You're on WWL.
Christian, what's up, brother?
How Bobby?
Hey, Chuck B.
I'm going to be real quick with this. Okay. So we've had Drew Brees, who's been a top-tier quarterback right in the league for at least 14 years as our quarterback.
Right.
I don't know how long Tom Brady has been at New England, but let's say 14 years there, right? With
there
Belichick.
No, he was there 18 years.
Okay. He hasn't had, for a long time, like consistency, he's constantly working with this player plugged in, that player plugged in, right?
Right.
Running game, different receivers. Not a whole bunch of consistency all the time. But they've been able to find a level of success and consistency in their game plan. And Bill Belichick has been able to coach situational football, whether it's running the same damn play over and over down your throat because you can't stop it, or adjusting to passing, or running, or whatever he needs to do. But he figures it out.
But you know, Chuck B., the defense has been way better in New England. And that's really his wheelhouse. Look, even last year.
I mean, listen, I get you, but they still have had to score points.
Yeah. No, they're number one.
They land up, and all I'm saying is this, whether it's finding the right defensive coordinator or whatever.
Right.
But Sean Payton, and I said it before, Sean Payton to me, has been the reason why we've had the level of success and at the same time the level of not achieving the success that we could have.
Because
we could have had more than one Super Bowl, bro.
Because, you know, normally, not that you wear out your welcome, but the message gets a little stale or you change. A lot of times it's around that 9-year, 10-year mark. Now you look at Coach Tomlin. You can always see examples. I remember like Jeff Fisher. When they went from Houston to Nashville, he was there 17 years. So you look at Belichick. So you have extremes. But Chuck B., how can you not keep riding and going with Sean Payton when the last three seasons we have the best record?
This is what I'm saying. So I hear you, and this is what I'm saying. I agree with you. He's the best thing that we've had. He's the best thing that we have. Unfortunately, though, I don't trust him simply because of his own personality. He, as a human being, doesn't seem to have the discipline to stay with things that are really working. You might have, like, you'll see some coaches, you got a guy who's hot, we're going to ride him. Sean Payton refuses to do that. Like, he just can't do that.
Well, he doesn't need to. Now, Chuck B., do you think sometimes, because you only have one football and you're trying to keep different players happy to get their touches?
I don't give a damn. I'm the coach. That don't happen with Belichick.
Right, instead of just going with one guy. No, because I've seen Belichick in the past with Tom Brady. They might have, depending on the opponent, Tom Brady had 52 passing attempts. And then the next time, he didn't even have 30. But they ran the ball like 38, 40 times. So, no, that's one that you gotta sometimes stick with what's working and not worry about, you know, trying to please everyone.
Chuck B., thanks for the phone call. Taking your calls on our Mortgage Financial Talk and Text Lines at 504-260-1870. Sports Talk rolls on. Deuce is in the house next here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.